This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, June 30th. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on the memorial of the first martyrs of the Holy Roman Church. I'm John Morales. Glenn is enjoying a day off, getting a jump start on a holiday weekend. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond. Good to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Sarah, can you believe that this is the last day of June? Wow, the summer has just started, but it's already flying by.
Time does fly when you're having fun. I've heard that before somewhere. Yeah, you know what? It's fine that June is gone. We still have a few more months of wonderful fresh fruit, poolside views, and, you know, just hanging out with popsicles and barbecuing. So we got plenty of time left, John. Don't rush summer yet.
I haven't made it to the pool yet, but I am definitely planning on getting into the water this weekend.
Okay, sounds good. This is a perfect time. It's always a good time, 4th of July weekend, to dip just one toe in first, because sometimes it can be pretty cold.
For sure. You know, I wanted to share a real quick story. Yesterday, I took the day off to watch my son play baseball, but in the morning, I was walking my dog, Blaze. He's a beagle. He's the cutest little beagle, and ran into our garbage man. And I saw him. He gets in his truck and he sees the beagle and he literally stops the truck and jumps out and comes over to pet my beagle. And it's an incredible moment because you could just see he became like 5 years old. Here's this grown, big, strong, hulking man. And it was an opportunity to chat with him. And I wanted to just say, hey, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. You know, we had this day of celebration, which we honor garbage men around the globe earlier in the month. And I said to him, you know, there's a day in which we honor you guys. He didn't even know about it, but I just wanted to take that moment to say thank you to him and to all the men and women who actually do this type of work in so many cities and towns all across our country. And I thought of it as a great opportunity of friendship and of showing the love of God, the love of our Lord to a stranger. And it's amazing how God sometimes can use, a dog, a beagle, as a way to start a conversation.
Yeah, you never know when the Holy Spirit is not going to stir in your heart, maybe even in your dog's heart, John. So good following those little tugs from the Holy Spirit yesterday.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just a small little thing, but I think that those are opportunities of grace that the Lord puts in our path. And, it just really touched me to be able to just say thank you. Thank you to this fella. And so, remember your garbage man and garbage woman the next time you see them. As always, thanks, Sarah.
You got it.
All right. We begin every program and every hour, always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Galatians 2:20. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that if we're united to the cross of Christ, we have died to our former ways, especially to our enslavement to sin. If we live the grace of our baptism as a new creation in Christ, living out our faith in our Lord, working deeds of love, then the life of Christ can actually live in us, and we can shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ for all the world to see. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, yesterday, we celebrated the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, and today we're celebrating the first martyrs of the Roman Church. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw it fitting that his church be built on the foundation of the great apostles, Saint Peter and Saint Paul, as well as on the blood of many other of the martyrs of our church. Joining us live now is Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, known on radio and TV as Dr. Italy, for much more on the significance of these two feasts of our church. Dr. Marcelino is a theologian, international speaker, and author of several best-selling books, including Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life book and study program. He's also a professor at the Catholic Distance University and directs the Crossroads Initiative. You can find him at dritaly.com. Good morning, Dr. Marcelino. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always great to be with you.
John, it is my pleasure, especially on such a great day. A day where we celebrate the first martyrs of the Church of Rome.
Absolutely. Can you talk about the significance of this feast that we're celebrating today in the aftermath of yesterday's solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul?
Well, I think it's beautiful. As a layperson particularly, I think it's beautiful to think that the Church is not just the apostles. It's not just the hierarchy. And a lot of times people think about the Church and they think about the institution. But the Church is the entire people of God. And so the Church, following St. Paul and Peter's martyrdom, celebrates all the others who died in that great persecution of Nero. Nero was, as many people know, a Roman emperor who was really a crazy character, a really ruthless and crazy person. And he terrorized the Christian community because there had been a fire in Rome. People blame Nero because it conveniently cleared the way for him to build a very opulent palace complex that he wanted. And so people blaming him, he had to deflect the blame. So he came up with this new group that he heard about, the Christians, and said they did it. And therefore, for 4 years, ruthlessly persecuted them in horrible ways. And a lot of just simple lay people who loved the Lord, who had given their lives to him in baptism, now they gave their lives actually in the arena, and many of them died where St. Peter's is now. That was a circus of Nero, and so he burned them for torches as entertainment in the evening. He did horrible things, but these people didn't buckle. They didn't flee. They didn't cry out in fear. They basically clung to one another in love, and many Romans, looking at these people who are supposed to be criminals, said, these people aren't criminals. These people, they died in a way that is admirable, that is courageous. And so it's just the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the Church. Those people who died loving one another and loving Jesus, they really made Rome, they put Rome on the map. And it wasn't just Peter and Paul. It was them and their love for the Lord and for one another. So, you know, it's just the mystery of the Church. It's all of us. It's all of us who are faithful to him in little ways, and sometimes those little ways turn into big and spectacular ways, as they did during that persecution.
To any of us who have traveled to Rome, we've been able to actually see some of these sites and visit the catacombs and visit the tombs of the apostles Peter and Paul, who are buried in St. Peter's Basilica and St. Paul outside the walls. And there's so much history to be seen to remind us of these holy martyrs of Rome.
Absolutely. And, you know, a year ago, Ascension Press sent me and Andrew and Sarah Swafford Andrew is a professor at Benedictine. Sarah speaks to youth all over the, and women all over the country. But anyway, they sent us there to begin a series, to film a series in the city of Rome, in these great places. It was amazing. The name of the series is What We Believe, The Beauty of the Catholic Faith. And it'll be released shortly in this next coming month of July. But anyway, to be there, I've been there many times, of course. But, you know, every time I go, I am brought deeper in my love and admiration for Christ and for his martyrs and for the church, which, you know, Rome became the center of the church's life because the church is Catholic. And Catholic means a number of things. It comes from the word whole. And it's really all about bringing the whole truth to the whole world. And Rome was the center of the world at that time. All roads led to Rome and away from Rome. So the church couldn't just be a little group of people living in what's now Palestine and Israel. They had to really, the church had to be universal. It had to bring the good news everywhere. And so that's why Peter and Paul were in Rome. That's why they died in Rome. That's why Rome has become the center of geographically of the Church of Christ.
Dr. Marcelino, I had the opportunity a number of years ago when I was working for Relevant Radio the first time around to travel to Rome with the bishops from the Midwest, from Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, for their ad limina visits. And so I was there with them at the tomb of the Apostle St. Peter and also at the tomb of the Apostle St. Paul. And it was so moving to realize that these two great pillars of our Catholic faith are buried in Catholic basilicas right in Rome, and to see the successors of the apostles, the bishops, praying in right next to their tomb was just an amazing experience.
It absolutely is. One of the greatest experiences of my life was there in St. Peter's as a young man going on a pilgrimage, and quietly, I wanted to get into St. Peter's when it's quiet. And during the day, there's lots of people in there, you know, the people looking at all the art and stuff. So I got there as soon as it opened at 7 a.m., and I wandered around. I just wanted to have prayer time there. I just had a very powerful encounter with our Lord and with John the 23rd, who at that time wasn't even a blessed yet. And I didn't know much about him, but I was at his tomb and had a very powerful experience that was a transformative one in my life. And it gave me a love for the church that led me to become a theologian and to be on this show right now. So Rome has a very special connection to me and a very special meaning. And it's amazing. It's not just the apostles who are buried there, but there are countless martyrs from every age and countless saints and confessors. There are people who never were born in Italy, like St. Ignatius of Loyola, who went to Rome, St. Catherine of Siena, who went to Rome, St. Bridget of Sweden, who went to Rome and lived there. You know, it's really the crossroads of Christendom. When I lead a tour to Rome, that's what I call it, because that's what Rome really became over the years and still is. It's amazing. It's an international spot for the church because there are people from every nation there, including the College of Cardinals, which represents every nation in the world. So, you know, it really is an experience in miniature of the universality of the church when you go there.
Do you remember the first time that you were face to face with the tomb of St. Peter?
Absolutely, I do. I do. And it really rattled me. It moved me very, very deeply. Some people don't know that the church always has claimed that St. Peter's Basilica is built over the tomb of Peter. But, you know, that was quite a long time ago. You know, that was 2,000 years back. And back in the 1930s, excavations began to actually find that tomb. And the tomb was found, and it was rather spectacular find. The bones of St. Peter were located and identified, and so you can take a tour of the excavations underneath the tomb of St. Peter. It's the St. Peter's Basilica. It was built over a Roman cemetery of the first century, which is not a catacomb. It was really what's called the City of the Dead. They're little houses that families would erect, and all their family dead would be buried there, and they would go out to the cemetery and actually spend time in those houses having a picnic to be close to their relatives. Well, anyway, as you walk through this this excavation underneath St. Peter's, you're going from these little mausoleum houses, beautifully decorated, to other ones. And there in the midst of them all is a shrine that was really the tomb of St. Peter. Early Christians came there as early as the second century to honor him. And you can see graffiti there and evidence of Christian devotion to Peter. So it's pretty amazing going back into the centuries by going down underneath St. Peter's. You know, you go back to the first century. It's really amazing.
And what about St. Paul at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls? That was also very powerful for me because St. Paul is revered and loved by all Christians, Catholics, and even our Protestants and evangelical brothers and sisters.
Yes, and actually, St. Paul outside the walls, it's outside of the walls, the ancient walls of the city of Rome, because he was killed outside the walls. He wasn't killed right there at the Basilica. And we actually filmed in front of that Basilica, the Swaffords and I, for What We Believe, the Beauty of the Catholic Faith. But we also went to the place where he actually was beheaded, and it's called Tre Fontane, or Three Fountains. And the legend is that when the martyr's head was struck from him, it bounced three times and fountains sprang up. And so anyway,
wow.
there's evidence of this now. It's a Trappist church. The Trappists take care of these grounds. It's a very beautiful and peaceful place, a very good place to pray outside the city of Rome. You don't really feel like you're in a city at all. But that was very, very moving for me. I had not visited that spot before, and we filmed there. So we filmed all over the city, John. We filmed in the Basilica of San Clemente, which is another place as you go down to excavations in the bottom level, you go all the way back to the first century to the house church that probably was the house of Pope St. Clement I. And we had a very moving moment there as we were filming, kneeling there, knowing that this is a place where Christians gathered, where they celebrated the life, the sacrifice of Jesus, and then walked outside, and many of them gave their lives. Just a couple blocks away is the Colosseum itself, which is a shrine that is a memorial to the Christian martyrs. And this Church of St. Clement is right near the Colosseum. So it's just an amazing thing to think about, to be in a place like that, to be able to pray there. And there's an underground river that you could hear there. It's about 30 feet below the level of the current level of the city. But, you know, we just thought about the river of tradition that really brings the good news from Jesus through the apostles, through the ages to us. And that incredible link, life-giving link of living water that flows to us is a beautiful thing to think about in such a beautiful place as the Church of St. Clement.
And Dr. Marcelino, when you think about it, the same Mass that we celebrate today on this memorial of the first martyrs of Rome is basically the same liturgy that these early Christians were celebrating in those catacombs, these early martyrs of Rome.
And we know that, really, John, because there's many documents that have survived, some of them only rediscovered in the last few hundred years. One of them is the first apology of St. Justin. And Justin died in Rome. He was a martyr who was a teacher and a philosopher and a theologian in the city of Rome. But in any event, he died around 165 AD. And in 155, he wrote a defense of the faith to the emperor. And one of the things that Christians were accused of was cannibalism, and another was incest, because the Romans heard that the Christians had love feasts, because that's what they called the meal that surrounded the Eucharist, the agape meal. They had love feasts where the brothers and sisters loved one another, and they ate the flesh of a man named Christ. So they concocted this crazy idea that we were cannibals and we were engaged in incest and orgies. So anyway, Justin sets them straight, and in doing it, he describes what the Eucharist is. And he lays out the service and tells the Roman Emperor, this is what we do. And then we do this, and then we do this. And if you read it, it just it blows your mind, because it really sounds just like Mass as we celebrate it today. Even the assertion that really this is the body and blood of Christ, but it is not, you know, it's not cannibalism. The bread and wine are transformed into his body and blood. So he actually explains all that stuff. It's amazing to have this document from you know, 155 A.D. So really, our church is very ancient, and our faith is not something that was invented in the Middle Ages. It's something that comes to us from Christ and the apostles, and we have the evidence to show that.
And these early martyrs, you could say, were very countercultural. Their faith was so real. They so much believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. What can we learn today about being countercultural, taking a page from the early martyrs?
Well, first of all, we learn that loving Jesus with all of our heart, soul, strength is that's really what faith is about. It's not just believing that Jesus is Lord. It's loving him of our heart, soul, and strength. But it's also loving one another as ourselves. The love of the early Christians for one another is really the fruit of the Eucharist. And so, you know, that if we forget about that and we're just casual, we're not going to get the world's attention. If we conform to the world and live like the world, for example, today in sexual morality, you know, we're criticized for being out of step and you know, behind the times. That's the way Christians were in the first century. Romans had all the craziness that we have, including the trans thing and, you know, just casual sex, attempt of abortion, you know, they did all that stuff. And Christians would not do it. So to be distinctive, to follow Jesus uncompromisingly, that's what wins the world. When we start imitating the world, that's when we start shrinking in numbers. Who's interested? Who needs to be Christian if it's just you just like everybody else?
Well, Dr. Marcelino, here in the final moment that we have, I just wanted you to share with us real briefly about what we believe, the beauty of the Catholic faith, this fantastic course that you've developed.
It is a 10-week study that has 10 videos shot in Rome that really will inspire you. But the book itself that comes along with the study and the study guide are awesome resources. You can read the book on its own. You can give the book away to help others understand the essence of the Catholic faith. Or you can do a study with a group, with your spouse alone, or with a group in your parish. So it's really a flexible program, a flexible journey into the heart of the Catholic faith. What makes us distinctively Catholic. So I would encourage people to find out about it. You can pre-order it at ascensionpress.com. You can also get information about it at my website at dritaly.com. And I also want to say that I'm leading a trip to Rome, but instead to Poland, to Austria, and to the Oberammergau Passion Play just next month, and we still have a few places available. So if anyone's interested in coming to see this magnificent play that honors our Lord's death and his sacrifice, but also learning about John Paul II, learning about Maria, the real Maria von Trapp of the Sound of Music, who is a great Catholic hero, learning about other saints and the composers like Mozart in Austria, then come to dritaly.com. And don't delay, because we only have a few spaces.
Dr. Marcelino, as always, it's been a joy. You're going to be busy this summer. Thanks again for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the director of the Crossroads Initiative and the author of Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life book and study program. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will join us to discuss the upcoming 4th of July holiday and the true meaning of patriotism. Stay with us. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is enjoying some vacation days off. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning, the very last day of the month of June. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As you know, Monday, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July, the birthday of of the United States, the anniversary of the 1776 signing of the Declaration of Independence. It's a good day to celebrate with our family, with our friends, to enjoy ourselves, to have picnics, but it's also an opportunity to celebrate our nation and its many, many blessings. That's especially important at this time in our country's history when our nation is so divided. Joining us now is our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, with much more on the 4th of July and the meaning of patriotism. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a longtime Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kubicki. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you in anticipation of this big 4th of July holiday weekend.
Yes, John, good to be with you, too. I remember when we celebrated the bicentennial, so that would be in 1976. I was a student down in St. Louis at St. Louis University, and I remember the big celebration that went on under the arch there in St. Louis. And, you know, so this is a great day for us to remember. Again, the 4th of July is the birthday of our nation, and to consider a little bit what that means and what we stand for as citizens of the United States, because so often I think we lose the real meaning of holidays like this, and we tend to get distracted thinking of it more in terms of a time for fireworks and picnics and things like that. So I'm glad we have this opportunity to talk about the birthday of our nation, what it means, and what we began our country with, the principles that we began with. So thank you, John.
Absolutely. And Father Kubicki, to talk about our country and our principles, our founding fathers, we need to talk about the Declaration of Independence. Could you say that this document was truly a God-centered document?
Oh, yes. You know, it began, you know, the whole point of the Declaration of Independence was the representatives of the 13 colonies, the first 13 states, wanted to draw up reasons why they were declaring independence from Great Britain and from what they considered the tyranny of the king. But before laying out the reasons why they had a grievance against the King of England and the way the British were treating them, before they laid those reasons out, they began with grounding the document in God. And so in the very first paragraph, they speak of the laws of nature and nature's God. Basically, something that we lose track of today, where people don't think there is such a thing as a natural law that is given to creation by God. But the document begins with this recognition that there is a God who is a creator, and that he has made creation with certain laws that govern it. And not just for things like physical laws like gravity, but also spiritual and moral laws that govern free people made in God's image and likeness. And then the second paragraph goes on and says, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, which I think is so important today, John, because so many people think of truth as relative. You know, you have your truth, I have mine. And to say something is self-evident says, you know, let's use common sense here. There is a thing like right and wrong and good and bad and true and false. And one of the truths that it then goes on to say is that all people are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable, unalienable rights. And so it's basically saying that, recognizing that we are not autonomous creatures. We're made by a creator. And we're given certain rights that also include duties. So, you know, the very beginning of the Declaration of Independence recognizes that there is a God who has created us and who has given us certain human rights that also include certain duties in terms of being just toward one another.
And Father Kubicki, it goes on to say, again, in this so important paragraph that every American really should have in their heart, goes on to say that among these unalienable rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if you notice, life is mentioned first, and especially in light of the Supreme Court decision coming up on a week last Friday, it's so important to remind ourselves that without the right to life, there's no other rights to talk about. There is no liberty. There is no pursuit of happiness because you're not alive.
Right. And, you know, so just as the church teaches that this is the most fundamental right that human beings have, so our Declaration of Independence recognizes that. And, you know, a lot of times people will talk about separation of church and state, but isn't it interesting that our founding fathers, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, recognize God? Now, they don't speak of a Jewish religion or a Catholic religion or a Protestant religion, but they speak of God. And I think that's so important to recognize that, you know, we have certain rights, including most importantly, the right to life, but that's not something that we give ourselves. It's not something that's based on laws that governments enact. The laws that governments enact should be according to the natural law, according to God's law, because we're made in God's image and likeness. And so this recognition that we're not gods unto ourselves that can determine for ourselves what's right and wrong, but that we have a supreme being who made us in a certain way and gave us this right to life.
And Father Kubicki, I think for us Catholics, it's good to know that one of the signers was a Catholic.
That's right, you know, because you know, remember, this was a time in the mid-1700s when Catholicism was pretty suspect. And the original colonies, 13 colonies, except for Maryland, and then there was also some tolerance of Catholicism in Rhode Island and also in Pennsylvania. But in general, there was a real anti-Catholic sentiment. But one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, his name was Charles Carroll, and he was one of the representatives from Maryland. And he's a wonderful example of Catholicism and citizenship, you know, and because when he signed his name, all of the signers signed their names, but one of the other signers said, well, Charles Carroll is not taking any chances with this signing because there are so many different Charles Carrolls. This is a common name. If the king wanted to find him and arrest him, there would be no way of proving that this was the actual Charles Carroll who signed the Declaration of Independence. And so Charles Carroll immediately got up from his seat, went to the desk where John Hancock had the document, and put after his name Charles Carroll of Carrollton, meaning his estate, where he could be found if the king was looking for those who signed the document. And so he's a great example to us of courage and of in the face of this kind of anti-Catholic sentiment of showing that he was not afraid.
Well, President Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage, and back in 1960, that was a time when there were people who actually thought that you couldn't be a good, loyal citizen and be a Catholic, let alone a Catholic president.
That's right, because, you know, people thought that Catholics were, first of all, subject not to the president or to the government of the United States, but that they were subject to a foreign leader and authority, meaning the Pope in Rome. And so, you know, that was one of the things that the controversy at the time was to say, I can be a good citizen and loyal to my country, and that doesn't conflict with the fact that I'm a Catholic and also follow the teachings of the Pope.
Well, I'd like to invite our listeners. We have so much more that we can talk about. We want to talk a little bit about citizenship and what it really means to be a patriot, true patriotism. I want to invite our listeners, share your plans, what you plan on doing for this 4th of July, or if you have any traditions that you celebrate on the 4th, or is it just another holiday for you? And also, do you have any real feelings about the meaning of patriotism? We're taking your calls for our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, 888-914-9149. If you're a proud American, give us a call, 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break. We'll continue our conversation with Father Kubicki. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
Conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue having a conversation about the upcoming 4th of July holiday and the true meaning of patriotism with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki. Father Kubicki, can you explain to us the Catholic Church's teachings about citizenship and what patriotism is really all about?
Okay, John. Well, you know, I always refer people to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that big, thick book, but it's a great reference book for all questions about Catholicism and what we believe, and it came out in the 1980s. And in a whole section, Numbers 22, 34, and following, it's under a section in the Catechism about the Ten Commandments. Now, if we think of the Ten Commandments, the first three have to do with our duties to God, to not use God's name in vain, to keep holy the Sabbath, to believe in God. And then the next six of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, have to do with our duties to our neighbor. Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. This is the greatest commandment. And so under that section of loving our neighbor, commandment number four is to honor our father and our mother. And so in the catechism, under the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, it also discusses what it means to to honor authority, to be respectful of people in authority, and what our duties and rights are as citizens. And it's really a beautiful section, so I refer our readers to that. And in that section, it speaks about the duties that we have as citizens. And it's interesting that this is number 2240. It says, submission to authority and responsibility, co-responsibility for the common good of all, make it morally obligatory to do three things: to pay taxes, to exercise the right to vote, and to defend one's country. And so those are pretty significant, you know, because so often we want to shirk our responsibility of paying taxes, and so often people don't exercise the right to vote, and so it's very clear that we have these duties as citizens of our country to show that we are good children of God who honor authority by paying taxes, exercising the right to vote, and being ready to defend our country.
Father Kubicki, in fact, Scripture also ties in perfectly with what the Catechism teaches. St. Paul in 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, quote, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And so St. Paul is reminding us to pray for our leaders, our politicians, our presidents.
John, I think this is so important because remember, this is St. Paul writing at a time where he experienced persecution, both from religious authorities, the Jewish synagogue, but also where he was taken in chains to Rome and where he was in jail. And so while he's experiencing this, he's also writing to Timothy that we should offer prayers for those in authority. And I think that's so important because today, with the contentiousness in our nation and its divisions, where people, the first knee-jerk response is to get angry about politicians. And I like to tell people, and whenever you're feeling yourself getting angry, try to turn that immediately into a prayer. Otherwise, it turns into resentment and bitterness and a negativity. So to take St. Paul's words to heart, I think we should really take it seriously to pray for our civic leaders, those who have been elected.
On this 4th of July, no doubt, we're going to see a lot of American flags all over our country. We're going to hear the national anthem being played at parades and special events all over our nation. Why is it important for us as Americans and as Catholics to respect our flag and to respect our national anthem?
Well, I think it's very important because as the Catechism teaches, you know, love of country is important. And it's not, you know, my country is above all others or my country right or wrong, that kind of attitude. But it's a love for what our country stands for and the blessings that it has received. I always think of how Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, instituted the day of Thanksgiving, you know, the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday. And that was in the middle of the Civil War when our country was torn apart. He still called us to recognize the blessings that our nation had received and to pray for unity. And I think now more than ever, that's very important for us. And one way that we show our love for our country and its principles is the respect we give to our flag and to the national anthem. And this is where, you know, my brother Knights of Columbus were very important in the 1950s to have the Pledge of Allegiance recognized as a way of honoring the flag and our nation and having the words one nation under God. Again, to recognize that our country was founded under God, we recognized at the very beginning of the Declaration of Independence that we are under God. And so to pray that we would be a godly people.
No question about it. And when you go back and you look at the fathers of our nation, there was so many allusions to the Christian faith, to the reality of God. You mentioned it right from the very beginning, the very founding document, the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth that separate the equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, the laws of nature and nature's God. We are one nation under God, which, like you said, thank you, Knights of Columbus.
Yes. And, you know, what follows from the Declaration of Independence, the John Adams and George Washington. George Washington wrote that the only way that there could be democracy is if you have a moral people, people who are committed not to their own selfish ends, but to morality, to nature's God and the laws of nature. And then he said what best promotes morality is religion, the practice of religion. And so here we have, you know, George Washington coming out with a very clear statement that it would be impossible for democracy to survive without morality and without religion. And even though many people talk about separation of church and state, we have, again, from the beginning, this sense that that doesn't mean we reject God from every part of our lives.
Father Kubicki, your thoughts on the importance of us as parents to share this love of country, this patriotism, especially on the 4th of July, to go to your local 4th of July parade, to really do something a little special this coming Monday.
Oh, I think that's a great idea, John, you know, because so often, again, the meaning of the holiday gets lost, just like the meaning of Christmas gets lost. So for parents to sit and talk to their children about why we are celebrating the 4th of July, what it means to celebrate the birthday of our nation, what were the reasons why we broke away from Great Britain, and how all of this is grounded in our belief in God, who you know, created us in his image and likeness, and who therefore gives us certain rights that are inalienable, that are part of our human nature, but also that include duties. So every right that we have includes a duty, and to talk about that as well, I think, is very important for parents in leading their children.
This fight for freedom continues. It continues in our schools, in our local governments, all the way up to the Supreme Court, as we saw last Friday. Father Kubicki, thank you so much for being with us to give us a Catholic perspective on the importance of real patriotism in this upcoming 4th of July.
You're welcome, John. God bless you, and I hope everyone has a safe and holy holiday weekend.
Many blessings to you as well. Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and of course, a Relevant Radio longtime contributor. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
A little scripture reading encouragement today, our story called A Diary of the Bible. January, a busy time for me. Most of the family decided to read me through this year. They kept me busy for the first 2 weeks, but they've kind of forgotten me now. February, cleanup time. I was dusted yesterday and put in my place. My owner did use me for a few minutes last week. He'd been in an argument and was looking up some references to prove that he was right. March had a busy first of the month. My owner was elected president of the PTA and used me to prepare a speech. April, Grandpa visited us this month. He kept me on his lap for an hour reading 1 Corinthians 13. He seems to think more of me than do some people in my own household. May, I have a few green stains on my pages. Some spring flowers were pressed in my pages. June, I look like a scrapbook. They've stuffed me full of newspaper clippings. One of the girls was married. July, they put me in a suitcase today. I guess we're off on vacation. I wish I could stay home. I know I'll be closed up in this thing for at least 2 weeks. August, still in the suitcase. September, back home at last in my old familiar place. I have a lot of company. Two women's magazines and four comic books are stacked on top of me. I wish I could be read as much as they are. October. They read me a little bit today. One of them is very sick. Right now I'm sitting in the center of the coffee table. The pastor's coming for a visit. November. Back in my old place. Somebody asked today if I were a scrapbook. December. The family is busy getting ready for the holidays. I guess I'll be covered up under wrapping paper and packages again, just as I am every Christmas. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Our thanks, as always, to Glenn, another great Story Corner. And you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or any of our Morning Air podcasts on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. On this last day of June, let's honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. You can watch it live at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And that'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn, who is enjoying a little 4th of July vacation, for producers Sarah Tafoya and Gabby Burke and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.